Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Tick-tock. You're listening to The Clock and to Elton Jim Toronto here at WGN. We are just doing some cleanup after the Steve and Johnny extravaganza. There are more chairs in here than there are in the United Center. But they filled them all, so good kudos to them. But yes, here we are on New Year's Day. Happy New Year. And as I said to Steve, as they were leaving the studio, this is the only holiday that I'm aware of that is centered around a clock. There's no great event that happened except a passing of 1 second. Boy, what human beings will do just to have a party. We will celebrate the passing of 1 second from 11:59 p.m. to 12 a.m. That's more than enough for us to throw a party. And I'm sure that most of you this morning are either coming home from a party, maybe you're still enjoying your party, or maybe you're just hanging out and taking that last sip of eggnog. I hope you put nutmeg in it. But whatever reality is of right now, you might have a hangover or the beginning of a hangover, who knows? But I'll be here with you until 5 o'clock, and we'll have some fun. And we'll just kind of continue the frivolity that Steve and Johnny have been up to since around midnight. In fact, I understand that their show started a few ticks before midnight. They just got in before the new year. But now it is firmly 2018. And let me just start out by saying, can we start out this new year, please, by saying it 2018. It's not 2018. I'll give you when it was the year 2000. That one I'll give you. And maybe when we were even in the aughts, in the 08s, and it's not even old when you think about it. It should have been 08. But, you know, in the 70s, in the 19s, in the 1990s, in the 1980s, in the 1970s, in the 1960s, we did not say 1,962. We said 1962, 1978, 1984. But suddenly we're stuck on this 2018. No. 2018, 2019, 2017, 2010. So please make that one of your little notes to remember. 2018, that's how you say the year. You said 1975, you say 2018. So that's one of my little hopes for the people say, what do you hope for, Jim? I'm not looking for world peace. I'm very low maintenance. If I can hear no one say 2018, my year is made. That's all I'm looking for this year. Just say 2018. That'll make me happy. You know, this morning I saw the first, it was pretty tragic. I saw one of the first wrecks. Thank God no one was injured except viewers. Did anybody see the CNN show with Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen? Oh my gosh, what a train wreck. I don't think Anderson's going to even admit he did that show this year. Holy cow, was that hard to watch. I hope the best part was, of course, the ball falling. But wow, I'm sure right now Kathy Griffin is really saying, I got my revenge. Wow. 312-981-7200 is the phone number or the text if you want to give a call. And, hey, how was your New Year's? What's going on? What are you doing now? It is really cold, and as Chicago should be. I look around over my shoulder to the Hyatt Regency, and I've done this shift the last couple of years. And the last 2 years, there was a star hanging from the Hyatt Regency for the Chi-Town Rising event. And as you may or may not know, there was no Chi-Town didn't rise this year. No rising. Stayed in the ground. And actually, given the temperatures, that would have been a lot of money spent for about four people. Steve and Johnny probably had more people in the studio tonight than would have attended the Chi-Town Rising with a temperature of one. So they were probably better off. But it'll be interesting to see if Chicago can drum up another kind of New Year's Eve tradition. But as I've said many times before, I love Chicago, born and raised here my whole life. And we need to get over the chip on our shoulder over New York. That thing in New York with the ball drop, it may be the most silly thing you've ever seen. It may make no sense. But even in 9 or 10 degrees of weather today in New York, very cold out there, they still had probably over a million people in Times Square. It's a tradition. It's grown with time. It's grown with the media. It's grown with cable news, because now it becomes a major show. I don't think we can compete with that. We shouldn't even try. There's nothing wrong with having some kind of event here in Chicago, but you know, the whole thing about the Chi-Town Rising was kind of a knock, if you will, or something to get the ball drop. So we're rising. Now, my producer today is Kurt. Curtis or Kurt? How do you go?
Curtis, Kurt, either one, yeah, whatever is easier for you.
I never worked with Curtis before. It's nice to work with you.
Well, now, I'm fairly new, so it's nice to meet you. Nice to work with you, too.
Now, you said you went to Chi-Town.
Yes.
When I came here the last 2 years, by the time I got to the studio, it was already over.
Yeah, my buddies and I last year were at Chi-Town Rising on Wacker Drive, right across the river here. And it doesn't surprise me that it wasn't going on this year. It was one of those events where I feel like they missed their target in terms of their demographic. Just to give you an idea, there were a bunch of other younger aged people who were there along myself. I'm 23, so the event was sponsored by Corona, and there were a bunch of other millennials my age are around there and hanging out and having a good time. But even though the tickets were free to get in, the musical act, I'll give the DJ credit. The DJ was actually pretty good. But the musical acts afterwards didn't know who they were.
Right.
One of them was a Christian rapper. So he was saying, he was rapping about, you know, God and how he wanted to you know, stop the violence in Chicago, which, great message about, you know, stopping the violence here in the city, but I don't think it hit home with, you know, a bunch of 20-something-year-olds from the suburbs of Chicago.
That are wanting to party on New Year's Eve.
And listen to music and, you know, count down up and see the star rise and all that stuff. It didn't really hit the mark.
Yeah, well, that thing, sadly, from its inception, the idea of having an event, as I said, is not a bad idea and start a tradition. Every city tries to do it. The only problem that I had, first of all, they called it Chi-Town Rising. Nobody here in Chicago calls Chicago Chi-Town, except for the song The Lido Shuffle by Boz Scaggs. next stop, Chi-Town, Lido put the money down. Aside from that, we don't call Chicago Chi-Town here.
No, and you know what? It's funny because all these other people that I were there with the event last night, including a lot of my buddies, were like, it's a kind of a bizarre name. Like,
yeah.
You know, New York, when it's the countdown, the New York countdown, the ball dropping, that sort of thing. I think they were trying to, again, go for like a more hip sort of twist on things. Another thing, too, that was much very odd about it was, I mentioned it was sponsored by Corona. I mean, beers at the event were probably more expensive than at Wrigley, and you were probably getting a solo cup size of it. And they had, like, bags of chips and pretzels and other things like that, and they were about just as expensive as the beer. And Johnny actually was telling me when, because I was producing Steve and Johnny earlier, and she was telling me that they found out that the city was closing off Wacker just for the event, and they weren't allowing people to go into like the hotels and stuff like that or on Wacker, that the only way that the event was going to have to make money was trying to sell concessions. So I guess the concession stuff was kind of planned at the last minute. But and even still on Wacker, it was really weird because you had the stage with the huge setup and everything. But as people are, you know, jumping up and down to the music, you could literally feel Wacker shake. And I mean, like almost as if it was like trampoline shaking. Like,
yeah,
it was really bizarre.
And yeah. Like I said, they got in trouble too because it was supposed to be a free event the first year. Then they wound up charging $100 and some to get close up access. So that turned people off the first year, which then may have, you know, extended into the second year. You went last year, you're saying,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So now it clearly, in an effort to make it more inclusive, they had music acts and DJs, but it just seems like the whole the concept's not a bad idea, but the execution was not there.
I think that's exactly it. They had a great idea, a great sort of atmosphere for it. I actually got an email from the people who put together the event. They were having, I guess, other parties and stuff taking place in the city. They just didn't have the Chi-Town Rising.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to see how those events did versus
Chi-Town Rising. Here's the one thing that I saw on TV. I was watching the CNN train wreck with Andy and Anderson. I wonder if Anderson Cooper goes by the name of Andy. I'm not sure. But so here was an interesting, you talk about concepts. So on CNN, they were going to different cities and having reporters talk about how different cities were celebrating New Year's. And I hope you saw this one, because this one's going to go down in the history books as well. So they had a reporter in Denver on something called the Cannabus. Because, of course, marijuana, recreational marijuana, is legal in Colorado. So someone came up with a clever idea of having something called a cannabus, where you go on a bus and you smoke marijuana and they drive you around to different marijuana stores to get your new stash, or they're just kind of driving you around the city, but you're smoking marijuana. So first of all, nice little pun, cannabus on a bus, smoking marijuana. Perfect. Great idea. Where the idea wasn't good was to cover this on television. Now, as we all know, when we watch a news report, especially from a big event in the last 10 or 15 years, it's almost prerequisite that the audience there that's there goes, woo, woo. I mean, you have to woo. I mean, that's the official crowd reaction now on television. As annoying as it is, woo! Well, this woman reporter is on this cannabus with about 25 or 30 totally stoned people. The idea of smoking marijuana is that you won't go woo! You had 25 stoned people just kind of sitting back, chilling, and so the reporter is standing there. There's no wooing going on. In fact, they all look like they were sleeping, and she's like, oh, there's a lot of high people here. I mean, she's trying. She goes, oh, believe me, the people are high. Like, you know, oh, no. And it's like, yeah, I know they're high because they're stretched out. And so she's trying to talk to somebody. This is where we've gone in the media now. She's trying to talk to a high person on television, and they're freely showing people using bongs. And I'm like, where are we? We, you know, before you'd have to go in the back of a record store or a head shop to find a bong at all. And now it's on CNN. You know, they're bubbling away. And they're showing a close-up of it. And she's desperate for one of these stoners to go, woo, or to do something interesting. But I'm like, no, that's not what stoners do. So whoever came up with the idea, like, oh, this will be fun. We'll put a reporter on the cannabus. Well, think about who's going to be on that bus after 3 hours of smoking marijuana.
Do you wonder what the reporter is thinking of what her director is
wanting
her
like,
to do?
What did you send me here for?
Yeah.
It was classic television. As I said, the first wreck of the year was not on a highway or not in a plane. It was on CNN with Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen. No wrecks here at WGN. I'm Jim Tirano filling in for Nick DiGilio. And just so you know, Curtis, I forgot to tell you, don't hit the spot until I use my tagline, which is right now. We'll be back after this. No switching. Jim Tirano filling in for Nick DiGilio this morning. Happy New Year. That's Tom Petty. We sadly said goodbye to that great, great rock and roller. And he already is sorely missed. And that is from one of his best, if not his best, album. Damn the Torpedoes, one that put him on the charts for the first time in a real way back in 1979. I've got Mike on the phone here. Mike, how you doing? Happy New Year.
Elton, Jim, what's up?
Not much.
Born and raised in Chicago all my life. Been here. Live out in the suburbs now. But when did we become Chi-Town? What's up with that?
Exactly. You know, the Chi-Town thing, I remember as a little kid, I used to read Baseball Digest, and when I would read that, there were stories about the Chicago baseball teams. And in the sports area, I think the Chi-Town thing actually came from sports writers chopping down Chicago because they used to call them the Chi Sox because there was the Bo Sox for Boston and the Chi Sox for the White Sox. And I think this Chi-Town thing may have grown. I mean, I'm just from my own memory of being a little kid from, you know, the early 70s. I remember reading that in the paper. They always say the Chi Sox, meaning the Chicago White Sox. I know, as you said, no one in Chicago calls Chicago Chi-Town. If anybody calls it, it's an out-of-towner. So to your point, why would we name our event about a name that we don't use?
Right, yeah, it was just so. I don't know why it bugs me, but it does. And
you know, it bugs me too. I'm right with you, my friend.
It's prevalent. The term is prevalent, I guess. I hear more from the younger generation, more the millennials, and also more in the hip hop community. But honestly, if you're over the age of 30, you're not using that term.
No. Well, it's not even like something like the Windy City. Or, I mean, which is overdone, I understand, but at least, you know, that's what it's known for. But Chi-Town, when they named it that, I just went, right from when I heard that, I said, this will not stick. Because, to your point, for Chicagoans born and raised here, we don't see ourselves as Chi-Town, so we're not going to embrace that.
No.
You know, like, New York is the Big Apple. So if something's the Big Apple, everybody in New York embraces the Big Apple because that's what people there call it. But Chi-Town, you're exactly correct, Mike. And as you said, I'm tracking right with you. I don't know why it bugs me either, but it does.
Yeah, it bothers. I don't know. But I'm sure there's bigger issues in the world. But I just wanted to call and also say, hey, good to hear you this New Year's and many good things for you in the coming year and hope to hear more of you, man. Take care.
Oh, I thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate that. Nice to hear. Yeah, I'm looking forward to 2018 just as much as anybody else is. And we'll talk about that. What are your hopes for the coming year? So, in our next half hour, we'll talk a little bit about that. And since Stephen Johnny did so much music, I'm going to add my own little musical piece, if you will, which will add a little optimism as we look ahead. 2017 was a very interesting year, to say the least, on many fronts. Politically, we had the Vegas shootings. We had the sexual harassment things. You can look at the year behind us now and say, wow, that was a tough year. But there were some good things as well. But as we look ahead here in the first few hours of 2018, we certainly should be optimistic. So I'll try to pass a little on with that. In the newsroom is Vic Vaughn. How are you doing there, Victor?
Celebrating the New Year's by myself up here on the seventh floor. But
yeah, well, believe me, down here it's only me and Curtis. So it's not like we're having a party either. After Steve and Johnny had...
Was a party.
Yeah, now that was a party. I mean, half of the people they had in here were never even on the air. They had people sitting in chairs just watching the show in the studio.
Yeah, Vic, if you're hungry, there's tons of Lumalnati's leftovers down here. So if you want to hit up some early morning breakfast...
Yeah, the word got up here.
What did you do for New Year's since you had to work tonight? What did you...
I slept until about 5 minutes before midnight. I woke up. I went out to the living room. My kids were awake, so I celebrated it like that.
Thank God my wife and I and our cat Grimsby... in my mind, I said, I have to get up at 1 o'clock because I have to take a shower and wake up and get to the studio. And... thankfully, my wife woke up at 12, and she said, you know, it's almost midnight. I said, you know what? I'm not even thinking of midnight. I was just afraid I was going to oversleep past 1:30. And so I forgot all about midnight, which is the bewitching hour. So thankfully, we're up, and we saw Mark Giangreco and, and what's the other woman that's with us?
Janet Davies.
And Janet Davies. We saw them kiss, which is always a frightful way to start the new year. And it was no different. And then I got to see Cheryl Scott dance, which was also kind of scary. And I saw the three hosts from Windy City Live pretending to have fun. So, hopefully we're going to have real fun here. That looked like a lot of people pretending to have fun, but we're going to try to have some fun here. And right now it's 3:32 at WGN. I'm Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio. And here is a fellow 5 minutes to 12 waker upper, Vic Vaughn with the news. We lost Glenn Campbell this year, sadly, from complications of Alzheimer's disease, but he was a trooper. He went out right toward the end, still performing, and there's a great documentary about Glenn Campbell over the last couple of years in his battle with Alzheimer's, and if you haven't seen it, not only will you learn a great deal about his amazing career, the guy was a part of the Wrecking Crew, which was one of the top studio musician bands in the 60s and 70s. If you heard any pop record in the top 10 or even a number in many ways, I think they had 100, they played in 150 number one songs. Most songs that were recorded in the 60s and 70s, early 70s, were the backing band was not the band you heard for the most part. It was a group of studio musicians called the Wrecking Crew, which Glenn Campbell was a part of. Hal Blaine was the drummer, very well known. Leon Russell, became a solo performer in his own right, was a part of the Wrecking Crew. But Glenn Campbell went from that to obviously a star of his own. He even played with the Beach Boys for a while. He played on many of the Beach Boys songs, including the great Pet Sounds album. And then he wound up touring with the Beach Boys when Brian Wilson decided he did not want to tour anymore. He just wanted to do more things in the studio. So Glenn Campbell was a Beach Boy, part of the Wrecking Crew, and then he had his own TV show in the late 60s, early 70s, and then he had a big resurgence in the mid to late 70s with Rhinestone Cowboy and Southern Nights, and just a great, great musician, and we lost him in 2017 as well. So I was asking you, what hopes do you have for 2018? I have to tell you really quickly, as we look back now that 2017 is in the books, I have to say my wife and I just came back about a week or so ago from a great trip that we took. We took a river cruise up the Rhine River. So we went from Switzerland up to Amsterdam. Talk about marijuana smell. If you've ever been to Amsterdam, wow. I think of two things now. The smell of marijuana in the streets of Amsterdam is everywhere. And it's even on the people, too. They walk by you and they knock into you and you go, okay, well, I know that guy just smoked a bowl.
Well, am I wrong, or do they have, are there laws, like, they tax marijuana?
Oh, yeah, it's all, yeah, there's places called coffee shops, and that's where you buy the marijuana. The coffee shop there is not a Starbucks.
Yeah.
And you can't have more than 5 grams, there is a limit.
Wow, okay, I didn't know that.
There is a limit, but it is taxed, and you walk into the coffee shops, and they've got a menu of whatever kind of high you want.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, you see a lot now about, not even just out of the United States, but now some of the states here in the U.S. that do sell marijuana, like Colorado, how their income and
it's skyrocketed.
General, yeah, it's just skyrocketed.
Well, that's why, right now, Illinois has recreational marijuana. More states, Las Vegas has just okayed recreational. Like I said, in Illinois, we have medical marijuana, but I'm sure the recreational is just on the way. Many states are. I would suppose, there are so few revenue-generating areas that governments have not tapped yet, and at least on the very low level, marijuana, the drug trade is sitting there waiting. Is sitting there waiting. And so I would imagine that within 5 years, certainly within 10, but maybe within 5, that it's going to be a federal law that will legalize marijuana. Because right now, the weird part is that, you know, it's legal, but it's legal statewide, but it's illegal federally. So all these places that sell marijuana, they have to get all their revenues in cash.
Wow.
They can't put them in banks because those are federal banks.
I was going to say that's
so that's illegal federal,
yeah.
money.
Yeah.
So there needs to be something. So I think we're past the stigma now. And after, as I said, watching CNN and the cannabis and having a bunch of high people smoking bongs on international television, because CNN goes around the world, I think it's only going to be a matter of time before they they legalize it. But I have to tell you, if I'm thinking back at 2017, what was my best memory? As I said, it was a year filled with a lot of interesting things right from the get-go, with the President Trump inaugural and that whole presidency, and then we had the Women's March soon after that. And as I said, we had the shootings in Las Vegas, the mass shootings during that that concert with Jason Aldean. We've had terrorism again throughout the world. And then, of course, the end of the year, no one could have ever expected that this whole sexual harassment and sexual misconduct would have become such a major story. And that's certainly going to, carry over into 2018 and beyond. There's no question about that. But I'll tell you what my best memory is. It has nothing to do with the larger world. It was something very small that we were talking a little earlier about the Chi-Town Rising and how Chicago's looking to get some traditions about New Year's. Here's one for Christmas that Chicago definitely should steal. And we're not above stealing, because remember the cows that were here several years ago on the street that became such a sensation? We stole that from another European city. I can't remember. So, you know, it's fair game. We were in Zurich, Switzerland, about maybe a week before Christmas. And we're walking in the evening down the main drag where all the shops and all the stores are. And the city was lit up beautifully. And so it really got you in the Christmas spirit right away. And we went to so many Christmas markets, I can't even tell you anymore how many we went to. Every city that we went to throughout Germany, because that's where the Kris Kringle thing really, Kringle market comes from. So some cities had 10 of them. It was just, they give you a map. You walk around the city, you go to like 10 or 9 of these things. But we're in Zurich. We didn't even start the cruise yet. We were there for about a day before we got on the ship. And by chance, we walked into this small little plaza, because in a lot of European cities, they have these small little plazas that we should have more of these in the United States. And there's these little coves, these little nestled havens in the midst of all the craziness. There's these little squares, these mini squares, these little plazas. And we came upon this thing, and I'm looking at this going, what is this? And it's called a human Christmas tree. And it's this huge stage that's shaped like a Christmas tree. And it's decorated with all the garland and all the pine, all the the branches of a tree. So it looks like a tree. It's all lit up. There's a star at the top. And then there was about, I would say, 10 rows, which you couldn't immediately see. But suddenly, a group of little first or second grade girls, all dressed up with red hats and red scarves, walked into this tree. And so you saw them lined up on the different levels, and they looked like human ornaments lighting, and then the lights were on the tree, and they were the ornaments on the tree going up to the top.
That's amazing.
It was the coolest thing. And then they started to sing Christmas carols.
Oh, wow.
I'm not exaggerating. I started to cry. I was so moved. Because they were so excited, and don't forget, they were singing in a different language. They were either singing in German or in, you know, in French, because we, you know, Zurich is a kind of a French, you know, Swiss Alps and everything. But you know, so I don't know what they were really what language they were singing, but they started to sing these Christmas carols, and they even had some choreography. They moved their hands up and down, or they stomped their feet during different things. They did sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It was great to hear that in German. That was interesting. But it was such an amazing sight to see this huge tree, this huge thing, and the little kids were so excited, and they started singing these songs for about a half hour. And if I have one Christmas memory, I will remember that not only this year, but every year. I took some pictures of it. But when we were done, when it was done, my wife and I were walking away, and we looked at each other. And I said to my wife, I said, I got to tell you, I started to tear up. And my wife said, so did I. I mean, it was so cool. And I was not expecting this, and they were so excited to be singing, and they were just singing their hearts out, and all their parents were there, and there was a huge crowd, and everybody was getting into it, and I'm like, why doesn't Chicago do this at Millennium Park? Build this structure, send somebody to Zurich and see what it is, or go. I'm sure it's even online. I'm sure if you go on YouTube and you put, you know, human Christmas tree in Zurich, you'll see it. Someone has to have posted that on Facebook or on YouTube. But every city should have this, and if they don't, I don't care about every other city. Chicago, let's steal this idea for next year. If anybody from the city is listening, go to Zurich and see this. I don't know if this is in other cities around Europe or in other cities around the country. I have no idea. I never saw it before, never heard about it before. But my gosh, was it moving! And you can this way you involve all the different, because then later on I went after we were finished. I saw they had a full schedule for about a month of this, and they had all these different schools.
Taking turns singing?
Taking turns. So all these other schools, all these first and second graders or preschools, whatever they had. So you get the community involved. You're in entertaining the city. And the sight of this and the sound of it, there was no better memory of anything in 27. Maybe I'm just remembering because it was so recent, but my gosh, in terms of a Christmas memory, I from that moment on, I was totally in the Christmas spirit, and I was even just in the human spirit. It was so uplifting to see these little girls singing their hearts out, and they were smiling and waving, and they were doing all their little choreographies, and it was such a sight to see. So if anything, if Chi-Town Rising didn't work, Chicago, go to Zurich or find somebody who's been there or but build this thing and do this in Millennium Park or some major spot here in the city, and I guarantee you it will be a regular tradition. It was just a magical moment, and as I said, I teared up.
Isn't it amazing how different cultures celebrate the holidays? Because I'll tell you what, I was at the Museum of Science and Industry a few years ago, and you see the Christmas around the world thing, and then it gets you wondering, well, how do, you know, countries like Germany and France.
Well, we saw all these different Christmas markets. They all have their own. Like in Holland, they have Sinterklaas. And if you go to a lot of times in Europe, you know, their Santa is very different than ours. Our Santa was based on the Thomas Nast kind of elf kind of look with the chubby Santa. And that's how Santa became chubby, because this cartoonist drew him that way. But if you go to Europe, mostly you'll see Santa where he's mostly skinny. And he's wearing a long robe kind of thing and a long hat. He's not always fat. He's got the long beard. So yeah, there are different cultures and different cities and different countries have their own little traditions. They're all the same, and yet they're all different. And even all the Christmas markets looked very different than the ones that we have here, too. They were selling different foods, obviously, different little trinkets. So it was really a fun way to get into Christmas. I'm Jim Tirano. I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio. And then I think at 5 o'clock, David Plyer comes in. And he will be filling in for Steve Cochran. I told you it was cold, and here's the proof. The current temperatures right now in the Chicago area, O'Hare, this is not wind chill. This is on the thermometer. O'Hare, -5. A balmy -5. Midway, a balmy and sweaty -3. And over here, right here at the lakefront as well, I'm taking my shirt off because it's -3. I'm sweating my butt off. We'll be back right after this. No switching. If you listen to me with any kind of regularity, you know what that's the sound of. Cashmere Woods. The scent of 2017. If you listened to me a year ago tonight, or this morning, you know that I was introducing how I accidentally found my new scent for 2017. And sure enough, 365 days later, I'm still spraying my house and this studio when I'm in here, much to the chagrin of a one Dean Richards who hates my Glade smell. But I love my Cashmere Woods by Glade. It's a hint of citrus, amber, and vanilla. And here's what I have a question. So maybe you guys can help me out. Obviously, I think every house should have a scent. Thus, it would make sense that I think every person should have a scent. For the last 20 years or so, I've had this cologne called Montage by a designer named Graham Webb. And I really loved this cologne. And I've had it for, as I said, over 20 years. Sadly, about 6 or 7 years ago, they stopped making it. And I just love this scent. And it's still so popular that you can go on eBay and people sell it on eBay. Graham Webb's Montage. So for the last 5 years, I've had to spend a little more than I used to when my wife would buy it for me at Ulta. But now, I'm even finding it hard. Maybe the supply is just beginning to run out of the people that had it and were either hoarding it or however they got this final supply. But I'm finding it harder to find online, and I'm also, when I am finding it, I'm finding the price higher. So clearly, I'm not sure why this stuff went out of business, because it seems like there was some people, like myself, who still wanted this. So, you know, at the holidays, most guys especially, we usually get cologne. Some kind, like, did you get any cologne, Curtis, for?
I did not. The only thing I got was, like, for example, in the winter, my hands get really dry. My skin gets really dry. So I got like these different like men's lotions.
Oh, nice.
Just, like little moisturizer stuff to kind of. Like,
isn't that nice? Curtis is moisturizing.
Yeah, I guess so. But just because otherwise I'll get cracks. A nice
group of lotions.
Yeah. Nice little assortment from my parents that decided nice. To get me that.
I won't go any farther with that then, Curtis. But, well, most other people, Curtis, the old standby is you get a guy some cologne. So yeah. I'm wondering at this and at the other side of the break, we can talk about this if there's anybody out there that wants to share. I'm looking for a new scent. I've got a scent for my house. Cashmere Woods covered on that Glade's Cashmere Woods covered on the scent for the house. But I need one for my body. I like to wear a little cologne. And my Graham Webb's Montage is getting harder and harder to find. So I'm going to you, the listener. Guys or gals, what do you like? What do you, hey, if there's a woman out there, what do you want your guy to smell like? And guys, what do you want to smell like? What did you get? Or what's your favorite scent? I need a new scent. So I'm open to any and all suggestions about a scent for 2018. The official Jim Toronto personal scent. As I said, my home scent is already established, and that is at least going to happen through 2018. And that is, of course, Glade's Cashmere Woods. But I do need a personal scent. So if you got any cologne for your stocking or under your tree, what did you get? Is it something that you like? Or what is your favorite scent? Guys, what do you like to wear? Women, what do you like to have your guys wear? Let me know, because I'm out looking for a scent here. This is major stuff. So we're talking about the new year, 2018, and it's been an interesting year, to say the least. But I thought, since Steve and Johnny were playing a little music here, that I'd get into the game myself. And they were talking about Louis Armstrong. Louis Armstrong is one of my favorite singers, one of my favorite performers. And as a little kid, I was always able to do a Louis Armstrong impersonation. It still remains one of my favorite ones to do. And so I thought, as we begin 2018, we could start out with a little song of optimism here. So this one goes out to everybody as we get ready to fill up our open page with 2018. It's a blank page, and it's all up to us to fill that page. So let's try to start it out on a little optimistic note, and I'm going to try to channel our good friend Louis Armstrong.
I see trees are green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful way. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed days, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful way. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, say, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow, and they'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful way. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful way. Oh, yeah.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. Elton Jim filling in for Nick DiGilio. That's Greg Allman from the Allman Brothers Band, and another person who we lost in 2017. Greg Allman, one of the great, great rock and rollers, a true original. And if you like Lynyrd Skynyrd or Molly Hatchet or some of the great southern rock bands of the 70s, these are the guys that started it all. Dwayne Allman, his brother, who passed away many years ago at age 25 or 26 in a motorcycle accident. And then Greg Allman just died this year, I think at age 69, and I think he had cancer. He had a long battle, very he had a lot of illnesses the last several years, but we lost Greg Allman. And boy, I was watching the Sunday morning news show with Jane Pauley today, and they did an extensive overview of some of the people that we lost. And if you've been reading the papers or watching television or seeing magazines, you've seen them name a lot of the usual people that were the really big names, like Mary Tyler Moore and most recently David Cassidy. Just the other day, Rosemarie, good old Sally Rogers, is finally back with Buddy Sorrell from the Dick Van Dyke Show. Glenn Campbell, as I mentioned before, obviously Tom Petty, Chris Cornell from Soundgarden. A lot of people forgot about Aaron Moran from Happy Days. Joni passed away. And so did Benson, Robert Guillaume. A lot of names that I had forgotten that passed away. And when I was watching this recap, I mean, obviously, like I said, Jerry Lewis and Sam Shepard, Adam West. But there were, like I said, some other names that I had forgotten, like Jay Thomas. You know who Jay Thomas was? He was on Murphy Brown and a lot of other shows. He was Eddie LeBeck on Cheers. He played Carla's husband. He passed away. Jonathan Demme, the great director of Silence of the Lambs and the Stop Making Sense movie, this Talking Heads movie, and many, many others, passed away. And I hadn't seen his name mentioned as much as you would hope. The great Chicago actress who was at Steppenwolf early in her career, Glenn Headley. People, I hadn't seen her name mentioned as much. So there were a lot of the major, major stars. Sam Shepard, I think I may have just mentioned, obviously. Pat Denizio was the lead singer for the Smithereens, one of the great 80s bands. He passed away at the young age of 62. So once again, the year was filled with a lot of very talented people that we did lose. And that list seems to be getting longer and longer as many of the baby boomers begin to pass away, and so many had such an impact over the last 40 years, especially in our pop culture world. You know, there was such a hubbub about, is that a word? I don't know, about the person of the year for Time Magazine. And, you know, all magazines used to have a lot more impact than they do today. But the person of the year that was named on Time Magazine was always a big deal. And so they're still kind of trying to cling to that. And so this year it was, President Trump said that they had called him and he didn't want to do an interview for them. And so they were going to bypass him. So he claims that he was really the choice. And I believe he was the person of the year last year, which made sense since he won the election in 2016. But and certainly he was a prime candidate for this year, considering all the controversy that has swirled around him. But then they really threw a curveball, and they didn't even name a singular person, but they named a movement, if you will, the Me Too movement, concerned with the sexual harassment and sexual misconduct allegations that were cropping up from earlier in the year, starting really initially with Gretchen Carlson and Roger Ailes from Fox News, and then Bill O'Reilly, and then it really began to snowball with Harvey Weinstein, the Hollywood producer, and then Kevin Spacey, and then it just started to, Louis C.K., and the names just continued to roll out, and it became really the huge story. But I have to say, and then I heard that it was either Trump, they were talking about the president of China, they were talking about the leader of North Korea as other possible people of the year. Don't forget, they didn't have to be necessarily positive. Adolf Hitler at one time was named person of the year for Time Magazine, okay? Because he had an impact on the world, whether it was negative or positive. But once again, this evening I was clicking around the stations and I got to Channel 32 here locally, and they were doing, from New York, their own pre-dropping of the ball, and there in Times Square. And who the heck was hosting their production? Do you have any idea, Curtis?
I did not watch it because I was here, so I was not able to see it.
This, I believe, of all, even more than the Me Too, I think this person probably deserved to be person of the year because he's got more jobs than anybody I know. Steve Harvey.
Wow.
This guy, every time you turn your TV set on every channel, he's not even on one network.
Yeah, he does Family Feud.
He's got Family Feud. He had that was on ABC.
Yeah.
Or that's syndicated. Then he has that show with the little kids where they do talent.
Oh, is that the one similar to Shark Tank?
Yeah, sort of. No. That's the one with the guy from Modern Family. This is where he has kids perform.
You're right.
Yep, I can't remember the name of it. Yeah, but it's a talent show, but he hosts that. That's on NBC. Then he's got his own TV talk show that I think is syndicated around the country.
Yeah, he does have that. Yep.
I don't know if he finally gave up radio, but he was doing radio. And then if you remember a few years ago, he still hosts, I believe it's the Miss Universe pageant. Because remember, he got the wrong name?
Yep.
And now I turn this show on, and there he is hosting the Fox Channel 32 national, New Year's Eve show. And I'm like, I get the Me Too, and I get the Trump, and all these possible, the president of China and all that. But Steve Harvey is everywhere. When did he become the national host of everything?
Well, it's funny. A lot of people thought that Steve Harvey's career was going to go down
after that,
the blub with the Miss Universe thing.
Yeah.
And it's been the complete opposite.
No, and not only that. And then earlier this year, he had his talk show was based here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And then they moved it to California this year. And somebody, I don't know if it was a disgruntled Chicago employee who either...
Oh, they released the, how bad of a boss he was.
Yeah, well, he wrote this memo to his staff when they were going to start the new production in California. And he basically, and this apparently came from him, directly from him, how he did not want any of his staff to talk to him or even look at him or, leave him alone. And it was this very kind of elitist. And, he comes across as Mr. Everybody's Friend and the nicest guy on earth. And then this other side came out and he sort of had to do a backtrack. And you'd think, to your point, that might hurt him too. He made light of the mistake.
He did. Yeah, he owned up to it.
And certainly his mistake about the wrong Miss Universe didn't even come close to the wrong envelope fiasco that we had at this year's Oscars with Warren Beatty.
That's
so
very true.
So even if he made a mistake on Miss Universe, at the end of the day, it's Miss Universe, Jimmy Crack Corn, and I don't care.
Yeah.
But wow, what a blunder on one of the most watched TV shows around the globe with the wrong. And I mean, if you can remember the flashback of that, if you remember, if you watched it live, that was the most, that had to be one of the most surreal moments in television history when the winners of La La Land gave their speeches. I mean, this wasn't just a 2-minute thing, and they caught the mistake quickly.
Oh yeah, this was like a really delayed realization.
And then after everybody, one guy, if you remember, even gave his acceptance speech in French.
Yeah,
I mean, this was there was a whole crowd of people up there, and then finally, the one guy.
This was like 3.5-4 minutes.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, that one guy goes, "By the way, Moonlight, you won." And they were looking like, and I thought it was going to one of those nice gestures, like we didn't deserve to win. Moonlight, you really deserve to win. But the guy was like, no, Moonlight, you won. We've got the wrong envelope. And then there's poor Warren Beatty looking like an idiot. Wasn't his fault. He was given the wrong envelope by that goofball texter, this accounting texter. I'm certainly not going to have him do my taxes. And I doubt if he's – I don't even think he's allowed to be anywhere near the Oscar theater anymore after that fiasco. But I'm looking around going – there's Steve Harvey again. Everywhere I turn, Steve Harvey. Wow. I mean, he's nice enough, but I didn't think he had this much appeal. If people remember the good old days of Dick Clark, and you're a little probably too young to remember Dick Clark, Curtis, but Dick Clark was the same kind of guy. He hosted Bandstand, then he hosted the original $10,000 Pyramid. He hosted bloopers, blunders, and blah, blah, blahs. He hosted all these award shows. He had a million jobs. And then when he got older and he had a stroke, then Ryan Seacrest was the guy who had 55,000 jobs.
Yeah, I remember watching Dick Clark's the transition between, because Seacrest and Jenny McCarthy slowly kind of took away with that.
And it's still called Dick Clark's Rockin' Eve.
Because, and I think that's great because it's still a tribute to all his hard work.
But my point is he had a million jobs and he was very kind of, you know, a mass appeal. And now it seems, I mean, I think that Steve Harvey even has more jobs than Ryan Seacrest. Wow. I mean, Steve Harvey, I mean, I guess, you know, he started out as a comedian, but I don't even know how much comedy he even does anymore because he's got 58 jobs. So I don't know. I understand President Trump is a possible Time Magazine Person of the Year, or the president of China, or the head of North Korea. But at this point, I understand why the Me Too movement was named as well. Huge, huge story. But at the end of the day, if you're talking about sheer exposure and sheer amount of turning around and seeing somebody everywhere you look, for me, 2017 Person of the Year, Steve Harvey. Current temps right now at O'Hare is 5 below zero. Midway, 3 below, and Lakefront is 3 below. I'm Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio this morning at 5 o'clock. About 45 minutes or so, Dave Plyer will be filling in for Steve Cochran. Stick around, we got more to come. No switching. We're talking about people that passed away in 2017, and someone who, in some people's eyes, finally passed away was the notorious and infamous Charles Manson, who, amongst his delusions, thought that the Beatles' White Album was the rallying cry for a world revolution called Helter Skelter. And he was actually given a death sentence, but then while he was in jail, the death penalty was overturned in California, and it was commuted to a life sentence. And he certainly got his money's worth of that life sentence because he died at age 83. And the funny thing is that I've always said this: if you are in the pop culture world, if you're an entertainer, it's not always good to outlive your peers, because if you do, the younger generation doesn't remember you. And the funny thing is that, you know, Charles Manson died, and it wasn't that big of a deal. It made a few days news, but it didn't really linger that much. And it's because if he had died 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, it would have been a huge deal. If you remember when Geraldo Rivera interviewed him back in the 80s in jail, and he was all, you know, crazy, and it was like, oh, he's the scariest man on earth. And the guy that supposedly was the devil, and really scary during the late 1960s, during the whole turmoil of Altamont and sort of the downside of the counterculture revolution, he sort of died an 83-year-old man, and no one really cared. Maybe that's the way it was meant to be. But here's a guy that everybody loves. And if you've listened to me with any kind of regularity over the years, and especially during the afternoon drive, it's good to see and hear good old Johnny from Michigan.
Happy New Year. I've been up since 10 a.m. yesterday and no medication last night.
That's not good. Shouldn't you be taking your medication?
I take Zyprexa for bipolar and my trazodone, and didn't take either one last night.
Why?
Because I was partying with Buddy Guy and his daughter.
Well, I know, but you should still take your medication, Johnny.
I didn't want to go crazy in the mess, but now I'm in here.
I know, but without your medication, aren't you crazy?
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm looking at you, and I'm a little scared right now. Hey, Curtis, can you stand open? Could you just be at the ready? Because Johnny's got a scary look on his face right now.
I might be trying to save myself.
You have not seen me worse. I've been on this medication for like 10 years now.
Oh, okay. Well, you got to take it, though, Johnny.
Yeah, yeah. I take it, but not last night.
Well, would you take it today?
I'll take it when I go back to the hostel.
Oh. So I'm seeing a non-medicated Johnny right now.
Not since Saturday night.
All right, then. Let's see. Curtis, why don't you bring him in your room where there's a glass wall, and I could talk to him from there.
I'm safe. I don't have a gun. I don't have a gun or a knife.
Oh, Jesus. Johnny! Don't even bring
that up. I may be from Detroit, but I don't pack heat.
Okay, if there's any policemen listening, please come to the WGN studio.
No, I'm just joking. So,
Happy
no.
New Year, everybody.
No, we love Johnny. Now, if you don't know who Johnny is, about what would you say, about 5, 6, 7 years ago?
Maybe about 2000.
When do you think?
7 or 8 I've been coming here.
Okay. Johnny was walking down Michigan Avenue, and if you know the Showcase Studio, which we're sitting in right now tonight, the Allstate Showcase Studio, it was during the afternoon, and there is a microphone out on the street, and every so often we turn the microphone on and talk to people, and what caught our attention was that Johnny had a sign on the window that said, yeah. "My father was Dwight Eisenhower, right?
Yeah.
Was Dwight Eisenhower's dentist.
And he also did radio theory in high school. It's only subject you got an A in.
Yeah. But being Dwight Eisenhower's dentist certainly merited turning on the microphone and finding out a little more information. And it turned out that Johnny has just got this amazing personality, as you could hear. And he told us a story about his father and Dwight D. Eisenhower. And then he's got more into his life. You're from Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you live in Michigan?
I live in an east side Detroit suburb of Warren.
Okay. So you don't live in Detroit proper, then?
I used to live in Detroit, east side Detroit, Gratiot, yeah. 6 Mile.
And so Johnny.
I'm going to say, if any of your listeners remember Oprah from the 80s. These two guys burned down the crack house, which I think the guys were drunk at the time, because I know the guys, and they were on Oprah and Donahue.
Oh, really?
They were the Barlow Crack Street Vigilantes.
Oh, okay. Well, so I don't know what that means, but regardless, so Johnny then comes to Chicago quite a bit.
Uh-huh. And about two or three times a year.
Least. Yeah, he comes on the train. And now you admittedly say that you've got a few personality problems. You said you're bipolar,
mm-hmm.
other things like that. But I'll tell you, this guy lives a full life. Just he actually sent me some pictures yesterday.
The New Year's party.
No, New Year's Eve.
Buddy guy, yeah. Mike Wheeler, buddy guy's daughter, Charlotte Carlise. I got hugs and kisses from her. I got hugs and kisses from an English lady on her. First year anniversary, and her husband was right there when she was doing it. And Natalie from Canada was giving me kisses.
Like in this calendar year,
uh-huh.
of 2017, mm-hmm. where did you travel? And he travels on his own, okay. too. Where did you go this year?
The best thing is I went to go see my family.
But name all the cities you went to visit.
Ottawa, Toronto, Lévis, Quebec City, Chicago, Traverse City, Michigan, Ann Arbor.
Now, you travel on your own. You usually take a train.
Up north, my cousins have a cabin, so I go up there once.
Right, but I'm saying is you go on a train on your own.
I went to Ottawa by myself.
You stay in hostels, so that's kind of...
I stayed in a jail in Canada.
A jail?
At the hostel in Ottawa.
What happened? What laws did you break?
American.
Did you really get arrested?
No, the hostel was the old Carlton County Correctional Facility in Ottawa, which has been renovated for a hostel.
Oh, really?
You go take tours, and people can actually stay in a jail cell.
Whoa. Wow.
I didn't stay in a jail cell, but...
But Johnny is, every time I go on his Facebook page or every so often, he's standing next to some celebrity, or you go to all those Comic-Cons.
Yeah, I met Tim Curry. I met Patricia Quinn and Nell Campbell, Little Nell from Rocky Horror, Magenta and Columbia.
Wow. I mean, he's all over the place.
And I met Brad Barry Boswick.
And he, what's so great about your zest for life is contagious. And he came in last year at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, you talk about starting a new year, Johnny. What's so great about you is that you may have some problems that you've overcome and you deal with on a daily basis.
And I got to go see my doctor on Wednesday, see my social worker Wednesday, and I see my nurse on Wednesday.
But what's great about all this is that you do not let this deter you. You go out there and you take a huge chunk and a huge bite out of life, and you travel and you have experiences and you're self-sufficient.
When I was younger, I attempted suicide when I was younger. And if anybody's out there that's trying to get help, there is help. Just do the best you can and try to listen, because people do listen. And just think of just try to get the help. That's all I can say.
Yeah, but what you are an inspiration, and you have such a big personality and a fun personality. You have a great time. Here it is, 4:30 in the morning, mm-hmm. and you're still up, and he's as wide as awake as can be. You just had, you just celebrated New Year's, and here you are. He was outside.
My 42nd birthday was New Year's Eve.
That's your birthday?
New Year's Eve is my
happy 40th. Birthday.
Yeah, my dad had tickets to see Elvis, to take my mom to see Elvis at Pontiac Stadium. They never got to see Elvis.
Oh, that's well. My birthday is actually next week on the 8th, and that's Elvis's birthday.
Yeah, that's what I know from
so
that.
So there's a connection there.
And, let's see. I wanted to say hello to Ursula. She's going through some private
issues.
She's going through some private issues with her family right now, and I don't want to go into it, but hello, Ursula, and her mom and that.
Yeah,
but she's going through a lot of private issues, and I just don't want to go in.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But Johnny was a semi-regular. Every time he'd come into town, he'd come by the studio. He'd come in the studio. He'd be by the window. And sure enough, when I was here at about 2:30 or 3 o'clock, I looked out, and there was Johnny all bundled up.
And my mustache was frozen solid.
You got your nice shaved haircut now. You used to have a little longer hair. But it's great to see you. I thank you for taking some time out and visiting. So I'm kind of in a rush, so give your hello or whatever you want to say to the folks out here in the Midwest and even around the world. Johnny from Michigan.
Happy New Year 2018. Do things I would do, I guess.
Johnny from Michigan, it's always great to see you. So thanks for just being you and being so inspirational, and we look forward to talking to you again throughout the year, and maybe next year we'll do this again.
Yeah, thank you for having me on this week, today. It's a pleasure. This is my education in high school. So.
There you go. Well, thank you, Johnny from Michigan.
Thank you, Jim.
It's great to see you in our town, and have safe travels wherever you go, pal.
Thank you. Have a great New Year, everybody.
And it's great to see how the world embraces Johnny as well as you go out there and embrace the world. So good for you, pal. Yep. It is about 4:32. I'm Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio, and we've got the news right now with Vic Vaughn.
You feel like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame.
Ah, Fats Domino.
You broke my heart.
We lost the Fat Man this year as well. Fats Domino, one of the true architects of rock and roll. And speaking of true architects of rock and roll, you cannot forget also the loss of perhaps the prime architect of rock and roll. And that is said with all seriousness. Mr. Chuck Berry also passed away in 2017. And he really is credited by many as inventing what we know as rock and roll. That riff, that that started rock and roll. It really did. And every rock and roll guitarist plays that riff somewhere, plays those notes, plays that riff, and it's almost the foundation of every song. So as I said, we lost Chuck Berry. We also lost the great Fats Domino. I'm looking at the texts here. I put a call out a little while ago. I'm looking for a new scent. They've discontinued my my Montage by Graham Webb, and I can't really find it even on eBay anymore. And when I do, it's very expensive. Now, as I said before, we all know that my house scent is Cashmere Woods by Glade. It's a beautiful mixture of amber and citrus and just a touch of vanilla. So that's what my house smells like. But now what should I be smelling like? And so I put it out there, and thank you to some of the folks who have responded here. First one I love from Kay. Thank you, Kay. She's in area code 252. I don't know where that is. But what I love about this is that she's, my name is Jim Toronto, and it's spelled Turano. Now, throughout my entire life, it's always been misinterpreted by most, like Toronto, Canada, like the Blue Jays or the Maple Leafs, Toronto. And so Kay says, Jim Toronto, Toronto.
The area code is from North Carolina.
North Carolina?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Wow, the signal's really 50,000 watts are really pumping out tonight, man. Or this morning. Yeah, hey, thanks for calling there, 252. Kay says a man's cologne should not be extravagant, and it allows him to spend on others. Ah, okay. Interesting take on that. But she offers these. Zeno. Never heard of Zeno. Did you ever hear of Zeno? Do you wear cologne, Curtis? You millennial?
I do not. Sorry.
Do millennials wear colognes or not?
Yes, there are. I know when I was in high school growing up, Axe body spray and Axe was
no. Okay,
very
but that's deodorant, my friend.
I know,
there's a difference between cologne.
But that was cologne.
Right. Yeah. To the high schoolers.
To the high schoolers. Yeah. But I don't wear cologne. I don't wear any body spray or anything like that.
Well, you will in about 5 years. You're still a youngster.
Will. Yeah, I'm 23. I still got a long time.
I don't even remember being 23. And you're 23. I literally have albums older than you.
I would believe that.
I've got most of the things I own are older than you. Oh, here, scare me. What year were you born?
1994. Yes.
I had a whole life. I was already married for 4 years in 1994. Holy smokes. Wow. Okay, I'm going to go be depressed now. I got to go get Johnny's bipolar medication. Wow. So Zeno, never heard of that. Is it Tabac or Tabac? T-A-B-A-C. I never heard of that. Perry Ellis, I've heard of that. I like this one, Royal Copenhagen. I've been to Copenhagen a couple of times. I might give that one a shot just because of the name. And Gray Flannel. I like the name Gray Flannel. I love the name, as I know. I love Cashmere Woods. That's a cool name. And I like Gray Flannel. So thank you, 252. And Kay, Happy New Year to you, too. Let's see as we scroll down here. There was another one. Oh, someone says try Tommy 10. I'm assuming that's Tommy Hilfiger.
That's what would be my assumption, too.
Yeah, and that's Tommy 10. So I'm going to write Tommy 10 down. And let's see, we got anything else here in the cologne? I think that's it. Oh, Hugo Boss. Someone says they like Hugo Boss.
I hear a lot of things about Ralph Polo.
Yeah, Polo, Ralph Lauren.
Ralph Lauren, yeah. I hear a lot of things about them, too.
I've had Polo in the past. I'm actually looking for something a little different. Like I said, the montage that, you know, a lot of the men's colognes have that kind of harsh, musky smell. And what I loved about my montage by Graham Webb was that it had like it wasn't as strong. It actually had almost a little sweet smell. And that's what made it very different and unique. In fact, I remember when I worked at one place one time before, when I was leaving there, this woman came up to me. She goes, "Oh, we're not going to smell your cologne anymore." I don't know if that was a compliment or if that was an insult.
Yeah, she, I don't know how I would take that.
I know, I didn't either. I didn't know how to take that. She said it with a smile, and being as insecure as I am, I took it. I didn't want to take it as an insult, but over the years, that stuck with me, and I'm wondering if she was actually just giving me a shot there. I can't remember. But so anyway, thank you. If you've got any more, once again, I'm looking for my own new scent. If any guys out there got any colognes for Christmas, and you actually opened them up and give them a little sniff, and maybe you're even wearing them in the last several days, let me know what you got, and if you like it, pass it on. I'm looking for a new scent. I'm wide open. I'm an open canvas. So so spritz on me, if you will. I had a friend of mine who was all many times on this show as a guest named Mick Kaler, and I remember when we were in college together, he would always talk about how he's not cheap by any means, but I thought this was very interesting. He said what he would do when he was done with when he would use up his cologne, because the remnants and some of the smell of the cologne still remained in the bottle because they were sitting in there for a while. So what he would do, rather than just throw the bottle away, and I still make fun of this when I talk to him, he would fill the bottle up with water. And so the water, it would almost be like, you know, when you put lemons or cucumbers in the water and it gives you the taste. So he would, in his mind, I never tried this, but he claims it worked. So he would put water in his empty cologne bottles, and then he would use it, as he termed it, as a splash. So he wasn't using it as a pure cologne, but just as a quick spritz and just a body splash, just to give him maybe a hint of a smell. Nothing overpowering, nothing deliberately smelling, but just, as he termed it, a splash. I don't know if that works or not.
So wait, re-explain this. He put like lemon water or
something?
No.
I'm saying like when you put lemons in water.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I totally missed that.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm sorry. And the water takes on the smell.
Yeah.
So in this case, the bottle of cologne still had the cologne sitting in it. There may be some remnants.
So you refilled it with water.
So you refill it with water, and then he would use it as he called it, a splash, where you'd get a hint. Perhaps it wouldn't be as strong, obviously, as the pure cologne, but just a hint.
Well, and I think that's that actually would be kind of what they call life hacks too.
Oh, what is that now?
A life hack is essentially like ways to make life a little bit easier without having to put in a lot of effort. So basically, it's just saving some money and putting a little extra water into your cologne.
Right.
Already.
Yeah. Well, I think my friend Mick is a little cheap.
Well, but at the same time,
you don't want to go out and buy a new bottle of cologne.
But if you're a person that's not trying to like overpower your scent on somebody,
right.
That's definitely a great idea to do it.
It's a splash because here, like I said, that woman said to me, "Oh, we won't smell your cologne anymore in the halls."
Yeah.
I don't know if that was. Now I'm looking on the texts again, and once again, someone else with gray flannel. That's our second gray flannel, so I'm going to have to try out gray flannel. A friend of mine, let's see, I did the same thing with mine with just a little left. Oh, yeah, so somebody else must have done the same thing Mick did with creating a little splash by putting water in your empty cologne things. Aqua di Gio has a sweet citrus smell. Aqua di Gio.
I've heard good things about that one, too.
Oh, really? Have you?
I have heard good
things. All right,
about that
very good. We've got another, Hugo Boss, 630, said gray flannel is a winner. Another person from 815 says, "Try Havana."
I've never heard of it.
I haven't. You know, I've been. You know, I am a very loyal person, and when I find something that I like, I stay with it, whether it's a wife or a handyman. I put my wife and a handyman in the same category. I'm loyal. I like Lou Malnati's pizza.
Of course,
I like my plumber. My handyman, my landscaper, my wife, I'm very loyal. And so I just fell in love with this Graham Webb montage, and I haven't even thought about going to a cologne counter or even looking. So I don't know what's good or what's bad. I don't know what smells like what. I don't know what name is out there. So I am definitely going to write these down. Havana, and what was that other one about the Aqua di Gio? Yeah, that's in the gray flannel and the Hugo Boss. I like this one from David Zara. He says, "Jim, you could be the last guy that wears cologne."
Oh, wow.
You know, that's true to some extent. I don't know. I'm wondering, am I kind of a dinosaur? I don't know. Maybe guys don't get cologne as much as they used to. That used to be the standby gift. 15, 20 years ago, if not longer, that was the standby gift. You just got, you know, you got cologne. That was it. And even when you're a little kid, you bought your dad cologne or your uncle cologne. That's what you bought. They got cologne or a tie. But, yeah, I'm wondering now, in retrospect, I mean, I've been giving Cashmere Woods away to people. But as I said, to be honest with you, one time when I ran out of my my montage, I sprayed some Cashmere Woods behind my ear because I like the smell so much. But, so thank you. I'm going to look for a gray flannel and Havana and Aqua di Gio and Hugo Boss and some of these other ones. So thank you for the list. So I'm going to be 2018 is going to be a new scent for an Elton Jim. You're going to be smelling me coming down from about three blocks away with my Aqua di Gio blowing you away down Michigan Avenue. It's about 4:47 here on New Year's Eve morning, January 1st, 2018. As I said, if I have one wish for the coming year, it's not world peace. It's not putting together our divided country. It's stop saying 2018. It's 2018. You never said 1972. You didn't say 1972 or 1984 when it was 1984. So why are we saying 2018? It's 2018.
And 19- stop calling events Chi City.
And yeah, Chi Town.
Or Chi Town, yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know what Chi City is.
That was another one.
That's even worse. Right. So, but here's the temperatures right now in Chi City. at Chi O'Hare, it's minus 5. At Chi Midway, it's minus 3. And at the Chi Lakefront, it is minus 3. And we will be back after this. No switching. If that sounded familiar, it should have. That was the theme from the Rocky and Bullwinkle show, the classic 1960s cartoon. And I played that because in tribute of another person that we lost in 2017, the voice of Rocket J. Squirrel and also of Natasha, darling, Boris and Natasha from Rocky and Bullwinkle, June Foray, passed away, and she... did so many, 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 many voices. If you take a look at some of the most popular cartoon characters from, I said, the 60s, June Foray's voice is everywhere, but she is best known for Rocky J. Squirrel, again! The ribbon out of my hat, again! That trick never works! Not up my sleeve! Rawr. And Rocky and Bullwinkle. So, as I said, we've lost many people in 2017. I haven't been hearing the name of Chuck Barris. We forgot about Chuck Barris. I haven't seen his name mentioned as much. Chuck Barris, the creator of the Newlywed Game. He also co-wrote the 50-song Palisades Park. And, of course, best known for The Gong Show. And if you remember, this season, there was a remake and a reboot of The Gong Show, which was actually one of my favorite shows, thanks to Mike Myers, who hosted it, and he played completely a new character. He never broke character. He was in makeup. He played Tony Maitland, and he was a British, hello, you cheeky monkeys. And the show was okay, but he was great. He didn't break character. He played this little sassy British Tony Maitland character throughout the whole thing, full makeup, tuxedo, and he had a ball with it. Chuck Barris, we lost in 2017 as well. So it is about 6 minutes to here, and we're just about ready to wrap up. They sort of stuck me in the middle between the elongated Steve and Johnny extravaganza that I apparently started actually about an hour late this year because the Blackhawks ran a little later. So Steve and Johnny were supposed to be on from 11 until 3. And then they, Curtis, they just got on right before midnight, isn't that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the Hawks game, we were able to get the Hawks off, well, not kick them off, but we were able to organize it where we were able to get them.
So they at least got
minutes.
The countdown out.
Yeah, so they got the countdown. We were they had one of their guests who was actually with WGN-TV at Mongo's in the city, uh-huh. And they were able to call in and get the countdown from there in the city.
Oh,
and,
that's cool.
Have obviously Lou Malnati's pizza and some champagne and all that fun
so
stuff.
So they were on. They gave them an extra hour because it would usually be from 11 to 2, but they had them from 11 till 3. But they only did a 3-hour show anyway. So they were jamming as I did, you know, 4 pounds of radio bologna into a 1 pound bag. but then Dave Plyer starts at in just a few minutes.